where there were lots of laughs, lots of yummy food, and lots of Cayuga language being spoken too. Until next time, Onigiwahi, be well, and take care.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Onigiwahi.
Gigawabamin. Soko seni denit e. Minen yuji hina.
Ekose.
Kakuhutau. We'll see you again.
Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
This is Bird Note. It's spring, and for many birds, a time to look their best to attract a new mate. This American goldfinch has recently molted. Its old worn-down feathers have fallen out, and new ones have grown in. The male is now a vivid yellow with a striking black back and wings. When goldfinches molt in the fall, they lose these brightly colored feathers. That way, they may hang around all winter unnoticed. Their winter camouflage helps them blend in with the drab background of the season. In spring, they molt again, making a dramatic change into their stunning breeding plumage. And the goldfinch isn't the only bird to make this surprising transition. The willow ptarmigan, a bird of the northern latitudes, is rusty brown in summer, blending in with the tundra where it nests. In the fall, its plumage changes to winter white, matching the landscape. Some gulls, like these laughing gulls, and also the Bonaparte's gull, add dapper black or brown hoods for the breeding season. Summer, fall, winter, or spring, we're glad you listen to Bird Note. I'm Mary McCann.
Indulge yourself in the cultural and folklore traditions of Italy on Il Sole Italiano every Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m.
Eravamo ancor fanciulli e ogni sera su quel prato.
Hello.
Hello and welcome.
You go by Kay. I know you put your Korean name. I just wanted to know what you preferred.
Yeah, my name is, actually my Korean name is Sungyong Park, but I have an English name, Kay. Mm. So you can just call me Kay, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's start. Thank you for joining us. And could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Mackie. I've been a part of Gabriela BC, I believe, 5 years now, which I can't believe. But I've been part of Gabriela BC since a little before we launched in 2019.
Wow, that's nice. Nice to meet you, Mackie.
Nice to meet you, too.
To start, could you provide a brief overview of what Gabriela BC is and its primary mission?
Yeah, so Gabriela BC is actually an overseas chapter of Gabriela Philippines, which is actually a grassroots-based alliance of more than 200 organizations and institutions of women and LGBTQ plus people in the Philippines as well as abroad. So we seek to wage struggle for the liberation of all oppressed Filipinos, as well as those who identify as women and part of the LGBTQ plus community. So our goal is basically linking women's struggles to the overall struggle against exploitation and oppression, and also understanding the specific experiences of gender-based violence linked to the overall exploitative society.
Thank you for the concise overview. Gabriela BC's mission is truly impactful. Now, moving on to the next topic, what led to the establishment of Gabriela BC?
So Gabriela BC started off as the Migrante Women's Organizing Committee. So there's a local National Democratic Organization, and I'll maybe talk about that later, about what it means to be part of the National Democratic Movement. But they focus on the migrant sector, and they found that there is a need to specifically have a National Democratic Organization focus on women and LGBTQ plus people. So we started as an organizing committee, and we officially launched in May of 2019. And we had the honor of Connie Ledesma, esteemed and famous kind of revolutionary and activist in the Philippines, and now does work for the National Democratic Front of the Philippines in the Netherlands. So yeah, we launched in 2019 and basically have been organizing the Filipino community here, but also showing solidarity to the Philippines and the struggles against the basically three basic problems, which is imperialism, feudalism, and bureaucratic capitalism. And actually had the lucky chance to actually go to the Gabriela National Congress in Manila in 2019, where activists and organizations from all around the world and across the Philippines gathered. So yeah.
Wow, that's an insightful overview of Gabriela BC's origins and focus. Now, let's shift our focus to the main goal. Could you share the main goal that Gabriela BC aims to achieve in its advocacy work?
Yeah, so like I mentioned before, I said we are part of the National Democratic Movement. So the National Democratic Movement is the solution to kind of the problems that are plaguing the Philippines. National meaning fighting against imperialist forces like the U.S. or other imperialist forces, as well as democracy, since the Philippines is mainly comprised of peasants, 75%. We struggle for land for the peasants, as well as against fascism. So that is kind of like our main advocacy goal or analysis. But we kind of really connect the issues of why Filipino people are here, why Filipino women have moved to Canada or anywhere abroad for a better life. So connecting, you know, kind of the local issues of, you know, why we're here or the things that we have faced as Filipino women, whether that be family separation, having to send money back home, you know, abuse that we face here, and connecting it to why, you know, thousands of Filipinos leave the country every single day to come here. Because you would think that if a country actually was able to sustain your livelihood, you wouldn't have to move abroad.
I see. Your explanation of Gabriela BC's main goal is compelling. Now, let me step into our next segment. How does Gabriela BC make a positive impact on the lives of Filipino women?
So locally, we have done, you know, different education discussions and events really highlighting, you know, why Filipino women come here, giving history in terms of like why the history of the Philippines is, you know, economically we're not, you know, able to sustain ourselves, or why we can't find jobs and we have to leave the country every single day, to bring basically that awareness and political consciousness. And then globally, we talk about, you know, showing solidarity to activists in the Philippines. It is very dangerous to be an activist in the Philippines, and even let alone, you know, speaking out against the government in a negative light. So we have done things like, you know, calling for the release of women political prisoners, you know, standing in solidarity with right-tagged activists by making statements, as well as, you know, highlighting, you know, the atrocities that U.S. imperialism has caused, you know, the Filipino people and Filipino women, by highlighting the case of Jennifer Lade, who was a trans woman who was murdered a couple of years ago by a U.S. Marine, or former U.S. Marine. So basically really showing and educating people to build that political power and consciousness, and really exposing why, you know, 6,000 Filipinos have to leave the country every single day to find work abroad.
I think the impact Gabriela BC makes is really impressive. Transitioning to our next point, in what ways does Gabriela BC engage with the community and raise awareness about its mission and objectives?
Yeah, so we do a lot of educational discussions. Some of them are on the realities of Filipino migration, talking about the root causes of why we migrate, and why the vast majority of it has been historically, you know, Filipino women specifically, that in Canada through, you know, the now different names, but the former Living Caregiver Program or domestic worker programs, or even if we think about the amount of Filipino women who are care aides or nurses here. And so we do other educational discussions on like history, like Filipino society and revolution, that kind of breaks down the history of the Philippines, the problems that the Philippines is facing and the solutions towards that. We also do, you know, campaigns. We have currently right now the anti-fascist campaign, really highlighting Filipino women and activists who have been facing the brunt of fascism by the Philippine government, formerly that of Duterte, now Marcos Jr. Government. So highlighting Adora Faye de Vera, who is a political prisoner and former martial law survivor, who is now arrested again under Marcos Sr.'s son, and is facing, you know, dire conditions in her old age in the prison, as well as highlighting queer activists, Ari Soledad, who is part of the Fisher Folk organization, who was and also is a trans woman who has also been fighting for, you know, queer rights as well, but has been faced with red tagging and harassment by the Philippine National Police for speaking up for fisher folks' rights. So we do other fun things as well. you know, karaoke fundraisers as a grassroots organization. We also have to kind of fund our work, as well as, you know, working with some of the other national democratic organizations we have here locally.
Wow. So the work your organization is doing is truly diverse and impressive. Now let's explore some works the organization did. Could you highlight any specific campaign or initiative that Gabriela BC has undertaken to fulfill its mission?
Yeah, I think I mentioned before about the anti-fascist campaign. We have highlighted Adora Faye and De Vera and Ari Soledad, and we are still actually raising funds for Adora Faye De Vera as she is in prison, and as she is older, she needs, you know, medication, as well as to help fight her legal battle to basically get her release. And she has been, in general, an outspoken advocate for women's rights throughout her whole entire life, even in the face of being, you know, imprisoned under the martial law era in the 60s and 70s, you know, coming out of that with intense, you know, abuse and torture that she faced, to still continue to work with women and children, and to really use that voice to, you know, help them in, you know, abusive relationships, as well as furthering the women's movement in the Philippines. So we are raising funds for her, but also we would love people to show solidarity, whether or not you're Filipino or not, to show that solidarity that, that, you know, the world is watching what the Philippine government is doing. Mm-hmm. We also have, like Aries Soledad, as I mentioned, raising awareness of how being as an outspoken activist in the Philippines, you can be red tag, you can be targeted by the National Task Force to End Communist Local Conflict. So basically, being an activist is a crime, basically, in the Philippines, which is, you know, unfortunate. But hopefully with, you know, international solidarity and bringing awareness here, we can hold, you know, the Philippine government accountable for its crimes. In a more, I guess, lighthearted note, we have a zine called Mothers in the Motherland, where we actually talk to working Filipino mothers here, and, you know, kind of talk about, you know, their struggles coming here, and kind of their kind of hopes and dreams about coming here, what it means to be a part of the Filipino community here, since oftentimes working Filipino women or mothers don't really get to have their own voice. And so we are in the midst of releasing two new issues, so definitely keep an eye out on that. But we do have two already published that you can find on our social media.
Your unwavering dedication to this, like, this kind of cause is truly inspiring. Thank you for sharing again. And now, let's turn our attention to future works. Like, looking ahead, what are the future plans of Gabriela BC?
Yeah, so we had hosted International Working Women's Day this year, and we had an amazing panel discussion with actually local organizations like Defund 604 Network and Sammy Dune Palestinian Prisoner Network, and also someone from Unite Here Local 40, and we also had a rally as well, and so all of them came out in March, I think a couple of days after March 8th, to really talk about the contributions of working women on society, as well as the history of working women and the revolutionary history of us. So we are planning to do something for International Working Women's Day next year. Not sure exactly what it is, but there will be a rally, most likely. So definitely keep an eye out on that. More, I guess recently or coming up, is we're planning to do a panel discussion with a local Palestinian organization, Palestinian Youth Movement, highlighting the contributions of revolutionary women in both the Philippine struggle and the Palestinian struggle, really showing our solidarity with, you know, the Palestinian movement, which we have been doing throughout the years. Which is, you know, a very important cause. Not only are we fighting for our liberation as, you know, Filipino women or Filipino people, that we stand in solidarity with other liberation movements and struggles as well. But yeah, keep an eye out. We do educational discussions. We do fundraisers. If you love karaoke, we usually do some sort of karaoke. Or any other kind of maybe prisoner letter writing event. Just keep an eye out. We do a bunch of different events throughout the year. Yeah.
Awesome. Your insights into the future plans of Gabriela BC are enlightening. It's evident that the organization has a dynamic vision. And finally, for those who are inspired by your work, how can individuals support or get involved with Gabriela BC's effort?
Yeah, I think getting it organized is kind of the most concrete thing that you can do to help, whatever struggle or issue that you care about. Obviously, Gabrielle BC focuses on women and LGBTQ plus people, but we have other national democratic organizations that people can get involved in if they're interested in. Soolongi BC and Anna Bryan BC focus on youth and student sector. We have Migrante BC for migrants and workers. We also have solidarity organizations for non-Filipinos if they would like to show support and stand in solidarity with the Philippine movement. So we have Friends of the Filipino People in Struggle, as well as CANBA, Philippine Solidarity for Human Rights. But yeah, getting organized is a concrete contribution to basically help liberate ourselves. And there has been, a long history of Filipino women struggling against exploitation and oppression. And we still can carry that legacy on today, so that we can see, the Filipino people being liberated. You can also, if that seems like, a lot that you want to learn, there's also other ways in which you can support. You can donate to us as a grassroots organization. Our events are funded either by our own pocket or by the funds that we raise throughout the year. So you can donate to us at our email, which is info.gabriellabc@gmail.com, or you can follow us on social media at _GabriellaBC, as other ways to basically keep up with our work. And if you're interested in supporting us, or if you're interested in just getting involved and messaging us and seeing how or and where you would like to go with it. So yeah.
Wow, it's inspiring to hear about the ways individuals can contribute to Gabriella BC's effort. I'm sure the interview was really helpful for our audience to know more about Gabriella BC, and thank you so much for sharing your valuable insights. I really appreciate your time, and it's been a pleasure learning more about the impactful work of Gabriella BC.
Thank you
Yeah.
for the interview. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Before we conclude our interview, is there anything else you'd like to share or any message you'd like to convey to our audience?
Yeah, so the struggle for liberation cannot be done without women and LGBTQ plus people, but as well as the struggle for liberation is in the hands of everyone around us. So whether or not you're Filipino, non-Filipino, really, getting involved in building political power and building that collective strength will really help in, seeing the change that you want to see in the world, and to see what the future is like as a brighter future, basically. So yeah.
Thank you for today. Your insights have been truly enlightening, and we appreciate your openness in sharing your experience. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was living in a devil town. Didn't know it was a devil town. Oh Lord, it really brings me down about the devil town. And all my friends were vampires. Didn't know they were vampires. Turns out I was a vampire myself in the devil town.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Burning fossil fuels releases a lot of carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. Plants use carbon dioxide to grow, so some people mistakenly assume that rising CO2 levels will be uniformly good for crops. But scientists warn that the reality is more complex. Kenneth Booty is a professor emeritus at the University of Florida. He says more CO2 can boost photosynthesis for crops, especially wheat and rice.
And that's good news. It gives you increased production.
But he says if CO2 levels continue to rise, the rate at which crop yields increase levels off. And he warns that adding carbon dioxide to the atmosphere fuels global warming. So in many regions, the benefits could be outweighed by the harmful effects of drought and heat. Models show that in mid- and low-latitude areas, where most of the world's breadbaskets are located, the yields from many crops will likely decrease over time.
There's a very slow decline initially, but it becomes more severe the more the temperature goes up.
Intensifying disasters such as floods and fires can also devastate harvests. So despite some benefits, adding too much carbon dioxide to the atmosphere can threaten global food supplies. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
At its best. Every Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. This is Radio Goethe.
To listen to? Want to know about up-and-coming artists, albums, and more? Well, come hang with me every Tuesday from 12 to 1. Raccoon City's where I'll be. Hope to see you there.